Today I'm going to be teaching on God's glory. But before I do that, I'm going to have to take it somewhere before I get to teaching on God's glory, because I feel like if I don't go here, it'll go, I'm not going to say it's going to go, let's go over your heads a little. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 16. Open your Bibles to Matthew 16. Yeah, I was not coming up on this altar without a... making it clear that if Apostle's watching, he sees I got a Bible in my hand. Glory. Matthew 16. Me and Apostle were talking last week. And we were talking about, we were on our way back from an RV trip. And I was in my RV, he was in his. I was following along with him. And we had got caught up in traffic. There was an accident in a tunnel that we were supposed to go through. So it was like bumper to bumper traffic. So since we were in traffic, Daddy called me and started talking about the word. So while we were talking, we were talking about the church and how when the church was created, it was built upon God's word, God's truth, what God says, right? If you look at, I'm going to show you the prime example of how God wanted the church to operate, wants the church to operate, which is Matthew 16, verses 13. We're going to start from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the other prophets." He said unto them, "But whom shall say ye am I?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." See right there, I'm seeing it right there, and you can see it right there, that he wants his church built upon what the Lord says. He wants the church built upon who God, God wants to build upon himself, on who God is.
Yes,
it's not, so that is why in the next part of this chapter, this is where the church, well, not our church, but most churches are right now. Let's go to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chiefs, chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. That was Jesus saying what God wanted.
Yes,
right? That's what God wanted.
Right.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He rebuked Jesus, y'all. he began to rebuke him, saying, I'm sorry, I messed it up. But if far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, now this is the same Peter that heard from the Lord, heard who the truth, what the truth was, and followed that truth. Amen? Now Peter heard another truth from the Lord, another truth from the Lord that didn't go with what he thought was supposed to happen. So he rebuked Jesus. Every time I hear this, it's like the ridiculousness of it. Rebuked Jesus and told him, no, that's not the way to go. But Jesus turned and said it to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He called him Satan, y'all. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou sorrowest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. See, now in the church, we have set our own opinions, agendas, and viewpoints as the foundation of the church. We don't take God, we say we do, we take God in account, but it's really our viewpoints of what God should be, our opinions of what God should be. And I was talking to Dad, I was talking to Dad in the RV, my apostle in the RV, and we were talking about how the church has become so organized. We got, like, the church was one when it first started off, but we became so organized that we became different denominations based on different people's different opinions, agendas, and viewpoints, which that was not what God had planned. So we get to a point to where we become so organized that God cannot operate in the church. We start to, I can put it this way, because we get so set in how we see God. And I'm not saying how you see God is wrong. Let me put it like this. I remember, I don't know if I explained this to you. I said this one time the last time I taught. I see God as a mountain. This great big mountain is, okay, so it's a mountain that I can see right now, but I know the mountain is way bigger than we can ever imagine because it's God. But right now I see God as a mountain, right? I'm looking at the mountain. I see all the cliffs, the snow at the top. I see all the caves, the pathways that have pathways. I see everything on there, right? So I'm seeing God, right? He's right there in front of me. We always say in the Bible says this, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Am I right? Yes. Amen. All right, so I'm seeing Jesus yesterday, today, and forever the same, right? The same God is this mountain. But if I take a step over here and look at the mountain at a different angle, still the same God, but there's things I have not seen. There are things that I have not seen, and there are things that I haven't understand yet. So that's why I'm sitting there. That's why we got stuck in this one spot looking at God and saying, this is God. This is the position that God wants me in. This is where it is. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to see all of him. So in order for you to see all of him, you have to take that step over to the left. I take that step over to the right and see God in another angle. So I say all this to say this: God is not a viewpoint opinion or agenda. God is I am. We cannot get set in our ways and miss hearing from God. I know y'all are probably like, you say you will talk about God's glory. Why are you talking about this? I'm going to get that. Trust me. You're going to see in a second. Then apostle. Okay, so back to the conversation with apostle. Apostle said this, and I said, oh, my God. He said, and I'm saying he said this, so y'all won't believe that I said that this is from apostles now. All right? I ain't taking credit for this. That's why I'm telling you apostle said it. He said the church is not supposed to be an organization, but an organism. Yeah. I heard that. I said, oh, my God. Woo. For those who don't understand what an organism, who didn't take life science and understand what an organism is a life form. It's a being. It's supposed to grow. It's supposed to change. It's supposed to adapt. But if you sit there limping dead as a rock, you're firm and you're standing there like a rock because you have your ways. You're set in your ways and you know exactly what God wants. Then you cannot move in God. We want everything in A, B, C, D, E, F, G. God sometimes wanted the A, Q, V, W, X, Y, and J. Shoot. It's not about what you want. And it's never been about what we want. Ooh. The church must stay alive in who God is and not be stuck in a religious stronghold. Now we're about to get to the part of glory. Are you ready? I'm saying all this, and I'm saying this because I don't want, when I start talking about God's glory, I don't want you to put the word glory in your religious vocabulary box. The word glory has been put in our religious vocabulary and not seen for what it is. We use glory all the time. As Christians, it's in our vocabulary, and we use it all the time. We sing songs about it. For your glory, I will do anything. We say, oh, glory, it must be the glory. Right? We even say it in the Slack app constantly. Amen? I'm not saying that we cannot sing these songs and we can't say our sayings, or we can't say glory in the Slack app. That's going to be against the apostle. I'm not doing that. Nope. No, we glory, say your glory. What I'm saying is, come on, Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is, we're using the word, okay, we're using the word glory like it's a gun, but we're throwing it like a boomerang. We're not using it properly. I'm not saying you can't use it, but you have to understand what you're using. Yes, sir. It's not a good boomerang either. All right, I need y'all to go to John 17. Glory. The word glory found in the Bible in both Old Testament Hebrew, the word is kabod, and the New Testament Greek is doxa. You don't have the word, you don't know what the word is. Is a powerful word that refers to a number of qualities pertaining to God. It can mean splendor, brightness, magnificence, exalted state, abundance, majesty, praise, weight, dignity, grace, wealth, and riches. That all is in that one word, glory. So when we talk about God's glory, we're talking about all that God is. The glory of God is the essence of all that He is. Go ahead and look at John 17, verse 22. Hold on, wait. Okay, yeah. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. God's glory was given to Christ. These qualities, the splendor, the brightness, the magnificence, the exalted state, abundance, etc., were given to Christ. And all glory has been given to Him. And He has in turn given it to us. Amen. So that means we have splendor, brightness, magnificence, exalted state, abundance, majesty, praise, weight, dignity, grace, riches, and wealth in us. Amen? But when it comes to God's glory, and when it comes to understanding God's glory, we have to understand it is vast. It is so big, and we can never fully grasp it. I said those words right now, but there are plenty more. Amen. There are plenty more of what understand what God's glory is. Yes, and that is why we must take up the cross daily. Yes. Because God's glory is so fast, we can't comprehend it in one sitting. He's the mountain. Yes, we take that step to the left. We see something different. We keep walking over this way. We see something different. Now, we ain't forget about what's over here. We're just adding on more to what God is. So it's more and more understanding of what God is by taking those steps and taking a look at who God is. And the more you do that, the more of the glory you see. And that's the more of the glory you can operate in your life. Now that we know what the glory of God is, we know what the glory of God is, amen?
Amen.
What are we to do with His glory? There are three things we have to do with His glory. Turn to John 17. Oh, we're already there. Never mind. I'm going to start from verse 20. The first thing we must do with God's glory is show His glory. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We'll keep going. And I in them, and thou in me. That's three layers right there. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that hast loved them that thou hast loved me. So what he's saying right here is that his glory in us is supposed to be seen. Yes, sir. Yes. So we're supposed to have a presence of his glory. Yes, everything that we are is supposed to be, everything that we have, everything that we do is supposed to be in his glory. Prime example of someone who exudes God's glory is apostle.
Yep.
Perfect example. we went to a gas station on the way back from this RV trip. I know we did a lot has happened on this RV trip. We went back on the RV trip and we stopped at a gas station. And he had pulled his RV in the parking lot. And, you know, apostles always looking for someone to witness to. So he gets out and he sees a car full of teenagers. They looking. I mean, I would look too. If you see your apostle's RV, you'd be looking like this too. You can see him doing like this. Move. I want to see. Yeah, so that one of them said, excuse me. He said, and he started witnessing to him. And he's able to witness to him. He got them saved. He got every single one of them saved. It was about six of them, I think. He got them saved. And he started talking to them more. And the next thing he asked was, so how much did that RV cost? You got to understand now. Everything that apostle has, he uses for the glory.
Yes.
So, because of the RV, because of the car that was following behind the RV, he caught their attention.
Amen.
And once he caught their attention, he was able to witness to them and show God's glory.
Yes.
Amen. So that's what we have to do. And that's why Apostle keeps telling us about our money, trying to get us our money. That's why he's trying to get us healthy. So that we could be in a position to show his glory. So again, number one was to show his glory. Number two, it's to be his glory. If you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Be his glory. We're taking this another level, it's a deeper level than showing his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Went the wrong way. When I think of seeing God's glory, I think external. It's about what can be seen around us. Amen? For apostle, it's, you know, the house, the car, his presence, what he says. It's all exuding God's glory. We're going to take it a little deeper right here. Interesting fact. I honestly just saw this today. When it comes to the glory and God operating the glory in the Bible, when it comes to operating the glory, it's producing miracle signs and wonders as well. In the Old Testament, I noticed every single miracle that happened in the Old Testament was external, meaning it happened to them. Noah and the ark. God told him about to build the ark and the rain happened. Moses and the plagues. Moses didn't do those plagues. Those plagues happened. And he just prophesied on them. Jonah and the whale. It happened to him. I'm trying to think. Daniel and the lion's den. It happened to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in the fire. The fire happened to them, but they didn't do anything about that fire. God did something about that fire. The reason I'm saying this right now is because in the Old Testament, I'm seeing it now. In the Old Testament, they didn't have God's glory with them. They couldn't have God's glory with them because of what Adam and Eve done in the Garden of Eden. Because of the sin that was inside of them. And not the first time, Jesus was the first time that hands were laid upon somebody. The hands were laid upon somebody and a miracle happened. Meaning the glory came from him. And the hands laid on him and then the miracle happened. I understand completely now why the Philistines were freaking out. I understand, because they've never seen anything like it. Someone has come out of nowhere, a carpenter's son came out of nowhere, started laying hands on people, and then miracles started happening. Healing started happening. Demons started being removed by his hands. We never seen this before. What we've seen was God operating on the outside. He never worked in us. I'm also thinking about, because all this is so, it's so parallel. The Bible is parallel, and it's crazy how parallel it is. Because they showed examples of the external glory and us working internal glory. Prime example. When the Israelites were walking through the desert in the wilderness, God provided food for them. He had quail fall and he had manna fall, right? That's how he provided. In the New Testament with Jesus, Jesus prayed over the bread, broke the bread, and then it multiplied from him. that was another parallel. Oh, Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. Lost it. It's all right. But what I'm saying is now it's not about showing the glory. It's about being the glory now. Yeah. We are the ones who are supposed, the miracle is supposed to come from. We are all sitting here waiting for miracles to happen, but we are the miracles. We are the signs and we are the wonders. We sit down and wait for something to happen when God can tell us what to do and we can do it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm in the wrong Corinthians. That's why. That makes so much more sense as to why I was talking about silver and gold. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm going to solidify this even more. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Amen. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now this veil is the same veil that was in the temple. It was a symbolism of the separation of God and man. And that's why he's talking about when Moses, because Moses, before there even were temples in Exodus, Moses was the one who asked God, show me your glory. And God was like, I can't do that. He said, if I come now, you gonna die. I'm paraphrasing, he didn't really say it like that, but he said, you gonna die. Because again, he couldn't show his glory in him. He had to show his glory there. And if he said he showed his glory there, you would not survive it. So that's why he used the veil to cover his face. And that's why the veil was used in the temples. Oh, man. It always goes back to the temples, man. Because in the Old Testament, the temple was always the holies of holies, the inner court, and the outer court. It always leads back to this, I swear. The way the temple operated was people would come into the outer court, give their offerings, and the inner court, they'll prepare the offerings, and they'll put the offerings in the holies of holies, which only one man can go in there, which was the priest. And they even tied a rope around his ankle, because just in case he wasn't right, they had to pull him out himself. He would die straight up right then and there. So that's how that operated. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent. And now we're the temple. And that's how the glory is able to operate in us. And that's how the glory is us. I went off my notes just now. I don't know where I'm at. Hold on, wait. Glory to be to God. It means differently now, huh? Okay, so it's now not, Lord, show me your glory. It's let me be your glory. Let God's glory be seen in me. Let me be the glory. Let me be the catalyst for miracles, signs, and wonders. Let me lay hands on somebody and they receive their miracle. Number three. is give him the glory. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Now, when I say give him the glory, everybody instantly thinks, even me sometimes, I instantly think, give him the glory. Give him the glory because he's worthy. Give him the glory. Hallelujah. We instantly think praise. Praise is just a fraction of giving God the glory. Let's look at verse 19. What? I'm going to have to say, what? Know ye not that you are your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's not about lifting up your hands and giving him praise. The way we give him glory is by the first two. For everybody to see his glory from you and you to be the glory by doing miracle signs and wonders. That right there is what gives God the glory. Us just giving him the glory and praise is talking about it. But us showing the glory, us being the glory, is us being about it. If someone says, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you so much. You're the greatest thing ever that happened in my life. That's great and all. You got to show me. That's great and all. When I had to pursue my wife, I didn't just say words. I did stuff. I had to do it. That's the way of proving it. So proving the glory is by doing the glory. Because we are created. If you look at Isaiah 43:7, he says he created us for his glory. Yes. So we are created for his glory, by his glory, for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
So that being said, I know some of y'all are probably like, but my life, I look around at myself, I look around at my life, it's not anything to exude God's glory. Have you let the glory out? Have you studied the glory enough? Have you had a relationship with God enough to have his glory? Have you taken those steps around the mountain to see all of God? Like, you may not see all of God. Apostle is the perfect. I keep saying Apostle is the perfect example because he is the perfect example of someone who is getting God's glory,
yes.
Seeing God for who he is,
yes.
and for understanding every aspect of God.
Yes.
He is constantly, he says it all the time. Every single time I came out of my room when I lived with them and I went downstairs, I looked to my left from them steps. That's his office over there. And he in the office studying.
Yes.
He's in the office trying to see God.
Yes.
Trying to see more of God, understand more of God, who he is, what he is, all of his glory. And from that, apostles are able to show his glory. Apostles are able to show all the blessings that he's gotten from God. To be an example of what God wants us to be. That's why we look at apostle. We come here because we see apostle and he's our example. And that's why apostles are able to do miracles, signs, and wonders. Because he knows more of the glory. That's why we must take upon ourselves to understand God more. To understand his glory more. So when I say glory to God, I have to understand that it's more than just a word.
Yes. That's good.
It's all that he is.
Yes.
It's me.
Yes.
It's all that I am. Woo!
Yeah.
That makes so much sense now for giving the glory. Because God gives me the glory to give.
Yeah.
It's coming full circle right now. Okay, so God gives me the glory to give. That being said, I have a few decrees I want y'all to say. God gave me first. I want you to understand. Hold on, let me get this right quick, because I want y'all to understand. When I say decree, it's not a declaration. A declaration is saying something like, I believe it, right? A decree, I had to look up the definition of decree. That's why I heard him and did that just now. Is an official order issued by a legal authority. So when I say, I want you to decree this, I want you to know by legal authority, through what Christ did on the cross, that this is what we are. This is not nothing I believe. This is what we are. So when I say these decrees, when we say these decrees, I want you to understand that is who you are. Amen? I feel like I went a little too hard there. Okay, let's go.
God gave me
the same glory
given to Jesus.
Hallelujah. The spirit of wisdom and revelation
and the knowledge
of knowing him
intimately
is what I possess
in his glory.
Because the earth
shall be filled
with the knowledge
of the glory
of the Lord,
as the waters
covers the sea,
I'm expressing
his glory
everywhere I go.
Glory.
Mm.
I reflect Jesus Christ.
Who is the brightness
of the glory of God?
I walk in integrity
and good moral standing.
I walk in integrity
and good moral standings.
I'm going to say that one more time.
I walk in integrity
and good moral standings
before God
and man,
because I am crowned
with the glory
and with honor.
God created me for his glory.
God created me for his glory.
That is something. Ooh. God created me for his glory.
God created me for his glory.
He formed me.
And made me
in his image
of glory.
Therefore I shine
his light and love.
I am fruitful in my life.
Bearing good fruit
always
because of the glory
that is activated
within me.
Show my glory.
Show my glory.
Prosperity
and health
are mine
as glory
follows me
and precedes me.
Is this who you are?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Got a couple more. I am being
strengthened daily
with power
in my innermost being
as I meditate
on the riches
of his glory.
I am successful
in all I put my hands to.
The Lord perfects
everything concerning me
as he fills me
with his glory.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead and give a shout of praise.
Thank you, Lord, for your glory.
We thank you, Lord, for your glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God.